Hey everyone, hope you're having a wonderful day. Welcome to The Chord on Sen, a conversational podcast on film appreciation, and I'm Santosh, your host. For our introductory show, let's talk about some film theory with Sneh and Devante. If you guys want to introduce yourself, Devante.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the pilot here. I'm a film student at Laurier here. I've been studying for 3 years. I'm working towards a production specialization. And I'm interested in theory and like social critique and those aspects of film.
Great. And Sneh?
Hi, I'm Sneh. I'm the Arts and Life editor this year at The Chord. And I'm hoping to get a film minor, hopefully.
Yeah.
Perfect. And to start off, you know, the first question, something almost like an icebreaker. Where did you get your introduction with film theory?
Yeah, so in high school, first I was studying like drama a little bit, and then I wanted to be an actor, and so I was looking for ways I could study, like go to university and still study like something that would get me into the industry in that way. And then I found Laurier's film studies program. So I started to study more about like film theory because that's just what this program has us do. And at first, it was a bit of an annoying process, like having to like read things about films, like what the heck am I doing? But then I started to learn more ideas about like auteurship, for example. And that was something that was very interesting to me. And then I started moving my idea of my future self from actor to more director. And now I sit in like a producer chair, I guess. That's all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. And like you mentioned, like kind of switching through different roles from an actor to a director and now seeing yourself as a producer. Do you want to go over like kind of give like a rough outlook of how these different roles kind of differ from like a production standpoint?
Yeah, that's a fair question. So, I'm going to tackle it as artistically as I can. So I feel like the actor's job is to provide a catalyst of sympathy for each like spectator, because they're kind of the people that the spectators wish to identify with, or they do identify with, I guess. The director's job is to kind of create a world based on the script that they see, unless they wrote it themselves. They kind of like create the world for those sympathetic characters to live in. And the producer is just like exists to make it like happen, like logistically, balancing budgets and stuff. I've one director credit myself for Photogenie, a film that I made in Mladen Mouafi's class. Sneh was also in that class. I also worked on Descent with her. I think I was just acting there, if I recall.
The
whole class was a super fun experience because, like, sure, I'm also in Filmmakers Laurier and I made films there. Like, first year I acted as an associate producer, so I was kind of just like helping Lauren Miatello and Emily Heron just sort of do their thing. And that was a very good thing for me to like learn. And now I'm more able to talk about film and more equipped to help around film sets as well. I think that answered the question.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah. That's actually a really good answer. You know, the idea of like sympathies and like kind of like how it kind of transfers from role to role. I feel like, yeah, it is pretty interesting. And a question to both of you, I would say, is do you have like any specific course experiences where, you know, you heard a professor or somebody talk about specific theories, you know, across the board, and you know, like your reactions to it at that moment? You mentioned Photogenie, for example, if you wanted to kind of like go over, you know, what Photogenie is or how you kind of like, you know, came across it and, you know, your rough definition of it, you know, just basically like a general introduction to it.
So Dr. Catherine Spring is a prof that I have right now, but also had last year, one of my favorite profs, I would say. So I had a class of film theory from before 1968, and that class focused, or theorists from before 1968 kind of focused on film and its capturing of physical reality, if I'm remembering right. In that, it was more of think, like, if you think about it, like, just like temporally from beginning to end, or not beginning to, from like the earliest point of history to now, you can understand how, like, if you're able to record things in reality for the first time, first thing you're going to do is actually just like document things, I guess. It's just the easiest thing to do. And then the film theory started to like evolve the idea of what is possible and how to use film, I suppose. And then John Epstein was a person that kind of spoke about film in a very sacred way, in a very like sacrilegious way, if that's the word. And yeah, photogeny is kind of the idea of like soul in film and the capturing of soul within film. I think that's a very cool idea. Just because there is like the sympathy thing I was talking about with actors just now, that's an aspect that plays into soul in the way that, what are we empathizing with? I feel like humans empathize with each other, and that is something that people have subscribed, connected to the word of soul. And I think that's very, I think that's a very cool aspect of it. Another theorist, though, is also like Sergei Eisenstein, who was also pre-1968. And his kind of thing was more like revelationary and trying to like teach through film and like reveal concepts to people, especially like if they're not able to read or anything. It's like you can use these images to provoke ideas in people's minds. That was also really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's always like fun to think about it, you know, like at least in a sense where, you know, all of us, we consume content from like different modes, and yet somehow it kind of converges always in film, where it kind of ends up being like this reflection, so to speak, of us, you know, as a, you know, like through society, if that's a way to put it, you know, like, and through that reflection, you kind of see yourself in front of the mirror and you're like, oh, well, here's me, you know, in my context.
Yeah.
And like, how am I relating to this character who's in front of me, and what is that person in front of me trying to say?
Yeah.
You know?
But it's that, like, identification is a very important part of film. I think that's why, like, we almost feel connected to film in a way because of the identification that we can ascribe to, like, these people or these characters, really, in this world that's, like, built. And a part of it is almost because we feel almost, like, I want to say godly watching these things, because, like, we're an omniscient force because like we're aligned with what the director wants us to see, and things are revealed to us so slowly, and those, like, yeah, the things being revealed and the just going through it in time is an experience that is uniquely human, I guess.
And like, also speaking of time, I feel like film itself has this very temporal quality to it, in the way in which it kind of like captures specific moments, you know. Yeah. Like, how do you kind of relate that like temporal view of film and kind of connect it to, you know, like a lot of, you know, things that we see in terms of like social media or like you know, videos? Like, we've kind of like emerged out of film from it being like this artistic vision, and we end up seeing a lot of, like, let's say, real person depiction vlogs, for instance, people just capturing themselves online talking about things, for instance. Like, so the tools, the medium is kind of like evolved over time.
Yeah.
And like, how do you see that, especially in like this current, in these modern trends?
I would say that I don't like how it's evolved, because there's two sides of it. There's the side that's like very capital based, and like, yeah, so many of the films that we watch and like feature films that we watch are like things released in theaters and things that are streamed, and they are all made for the purpose of profit, which, like, sure, that's the time we live in, I understand. Films also cost money to make, so like that makes sense that you're trying to make money back. But if that's all you're doing, you're kind of like forsaking what I believe, at least personally, what film is really strong in doing. which is having a more social cause to it and using the identification that we were talking about before as a means to get people to not seek sympathy, but give sympathy to people in othering situations by director being able to put you in a world of said situation for a bit. And that will reveal to an audience member or a spectator by chance, hopefully. Depends on the person, who they are. But ideally, it could just merge humans empathetically in a way, if that makes any sense to you guys. And the second aspect is the shortening of everything, I guess. Because people like shortening things is just like our attention spans has shortened, and it's like a chicken and egg thing. It's like, did social media start slowing shortening things, and then we were just like, okay, I'll follow suit, or the other way around? And I guess it's that also has to do with the capital aspect of it, because the shorter things are made to gather our attention and steal our attention, and then from there it's like we mold ourselves to these new forms of videos that we're watching, and that's just one way that money is ruining our lives, I guess.
I mean, no, it is kind of interesting where it's also sometimes when I do see, speaking of these ideas of money and the way even content is monetized these days, you think about how people kind of streamline themselves into specific ways of projecting themselves, mm-hmm. To kind of drive those, to drive those monetary aspects where, for instance, content restrictions on YouTube, which for instance, is something that we kind of need.
Wait, sorry, did you say content?
Content restrictions, yeah. Where it's you have creators kind of openly talk about parts where I can't cuss a lot in this video because it's not going to be deemed as family friendly, True. it's what do you think about this idea of an authentic self and how we kind of project ourselves, in regards to a camera, for instance, because we all are very camera focused a lot,
I guess this is an idea I tried to cover in my film with Will Harrow, Filter Genie. Before it was called Scopophobia, because the idea that the catalyst idea, I guess, was the capturing, we took the idea of Jean Epstein's capturing of the soul through film, and then since that was way long ago, and now we have easier access to it, how has that changed how we are in society? And I believe that there's a bit of fear that we have towards cameras, even though it's not something that we look at a camera and we feel fear, but we have to change how we act in every situation just because of the access that people have to cameras and the ability to share it, not just in space but in time as well. These things can be frozen forever, and this is the idea of a digital footprint, I guess. But I think digital footprint is a way less scarier way of saying it, because it's just eternal judgment. People can judge you for a moment, or people can judge you for an action that you made right now until you die, if they record you at the right time. That is a very scary thing, I think. Yeah,
I mean, it's also at least looking at how social discourses generally, I would also say with things cancel culture, for instance, or we keep for if I'm not sure if this is a good example, but the amount of times that I would have seen Britney Spears have a moment with her meltdown with the paparazzi, Tobey Maguire's moment with the paparazzi, for instance, that's one thing that always gets me. It's he always knows where the camera is. I feel it's that thing where it's we all have access to camera, we're somewhere almost always in front of one, we're being monitored always, security, everything else. So then it's almost always how are we acting in front of that? I feel it always comes up as something that's that's very important.
Yeah, because we try to construct the perfect self for cameras. Like, that's, I feel like, what you would want to do naturally. But then it's like, if cameras are literally everywhere, I can't be my perfect self at all times. Because, like, yeah, humans are, like, social actors. But now it's not even, like, we're socially acting. We are, like, stylistically acting. We're just performing. It's really, like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's very weird.
And also, like, you know, speaking of, Jean Epstein and Photo Jenny, are there, like, any specific film moments that you might have come across where you've probably, like, seen a movie or, like, some scene or something like that, where you're like, okay, this is, like, a very interesting, you know, depiction of that theory? Like, are there any examples like that you could probably think of?
For Soul in film, I would actually, like, say no. I haven't, like, ever, like, been, like, I think of Soul when looking at this scene in a movie. But once again, where I do see it is, like just videos in general. Oh, whoa. Just videos in general and, like, social media and, like, the capturing of, like, the soul in real time, like, in real life instances, opposed to, like, films are very, very fabricated. Obviously, that's just, like, the nature of it. That's what you want to do, actually. But the soul there is that we're capturing is kind of a fake soul in a way. Like, sure, the director's subjective soul, but it's what is more important to me and scary to me is the capturing of what is actually going on and how the access to constant recording and constant videos is changing the soul of society, I guess.
Do you think that it's making it less special that we have all of these cameras around all of the time?
Yeah. I think that's a very important point. It's like before when the first ever videos were like, aired is the wrong word, but like projected. Yeah. It was like, whoa, this is novelty. This is so cool. This is something very special. But now it's like seen as not special because it's any less special objectively, but because we're just like so accustomed to seeing it literally all the time. Using an example of like AI, for example, of like the first ever like AI video I saw that was like semi-realistic. I was like, whoa, it's not cool, but it's novel, I think. And then now I'm seeing it so much more often and I'm becoming, less interested is a word, but it's like I expect it. I kind of understand it, and since I understand it, it takes away how novel it feels or how special it might feel. And that's probably what happened to like us in film. Like, first the videos were cool, and then it got boring, I guess. And then they're like, hey, let's add narratives to it, and then let's make it funky and cool again. And then it just like kept going, I guess. Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of interesting where it kind of ties back to your course itself of looking at it pre-1968 versus after, where, you know, which you kind of mentioned briefly too, you know, about how at one time it was about documenting and recording moments, and then that eventually becomes more stylized, that, you know, you add a narrative to it, you add characters to it, you start reflecting, you know, people, you know, like you start reflecting society, and then it eventually kind of converges into its own unique stories, like which, you know, which kind of invariably come back to same ideals a lot of times, you know, like a lot of philosophies and things like that. But at the same time, you know, it kind of like also, how do I put it? Like it also like, you know, adds a layer of, you know, society as that idea of social, you know, revolution, which you were mentioning about, like with Eisenstein, you know, I feel like, would you want to kind of elaborate a little bit more on him, like on the him? Soviet montages and everything?
Yeah, I'll just go to social critique in general, I believe, because I'm honestly, we've been talking for so long, I forgot what I've said in recording and what we talked about before. So actually, I will go over it again. It's just like a very, so like Sergei Eisenstein, like he tried to reveal things to people in film. And I think that's what, that's an aspect of film that I think needs to stay. Like we should still be realizing things through watching whatever audiovisual medium we watch. But right now we're using it more, for escapism and to ignore things that are happening in reality. In terms, I guess it's double, like, that's not fully true, I guess, because there are videos and stuff of political things happening, but it doesn't push people to physical action as much as I would hope. It's just kind of a bunch of information going around. But it's like there's a cat video, and then there's a graphic video of something actually really happening, and then another, and then a silly version of that graphic thing that really that just happened. And I think that's a way of changing something that could be revolutionary and turning it into something that's just used to, like, numb you and pass your time. Because you talked about earlier how film is like a temporal art. And that being the case, you kind of trade your time to watch these things. And it's like, what are you gaining from trading your time? Because, like, when I work and I trade my time, I get money back, I guess, right? But if I'm watching, like, bad is the wrong word, but irrelevant videos all day, I'm gaining absolutely nothing. But if there was a standard of video making that made it so you're revealing things to people and teaching things to people, like, socially, not just, like, math or something, but, like, then you can actually be gaining something from film. But right now it's just like, we're giving time, we're giving money, we're watching ads, and it's just like, that's not what either of the two theorists that we just thought about, or we just said, well, we were just talking about, it would think is the importance of film, but it's just a bastardized version of the industry now, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's like totally valid, you know, especially, like, thinking about, like, film history in general. You know, one thing that I've kind of, like, understood looking at film, you know, across from, like, different industries, be it, like, within India, for instance, or American films, European films, I feel like each film language has a certain history to it. It's like Hollywood makes the kind of films that it makes, mm-hmm. you know, because it has had that historical access, you know, to a specific kind of voice where it kind of, like, transfers.
Yeah. And they're trying to give a specific image, I feel like, as well. And another thing that's important to talk about is, like, the teaching of norms through film. Because I feel like there's an epidemic, agree with me or not here, or, yeah, tell me if you agree here, but, like, Americans and Canadians are sometimes confused and think that they're American, and I think it's because we watch a lot of American films, and so their norms have become our norms. And also, like, sure, we're neighboring countries, but I think it has to do more with the sharing of media and how that teaches people, and that's why it feels like, that's why when there's American politics happening, that's why it feels so important, because, like, on social media, that's, like, what we're watching. And so people actually are, like, have very strong opinions on something happening in another country. Sure, yes, it doesn't impact us. And that's kind of, like, I think my argument actually is saying that, too. Because whatever is believed in America is going to be upheld in America. And then directors and producers...
exported to the rest of the world as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like, directors and producers are going to have to make their films likable to their demographic and then share it. So then it's like, this is what, like, for example, when there's a bunch of, like, let's use the example of the gay characters, for example, and how they're treated in media. When they're, like, if America doesn't like them, for example, like, whenever that happened, if that ever happened, I don't know, but they will stylize how they feel towards these people, and then share it. An objective example is that of, like, how women are thought of in film noir, like the idea of a femme fatale. Like, women were starting to, like, gain rights, and then men were scared, so then they stylized this version of women to be punished toward, punished at the end, and a villain, like a villain who's punished at the end, is kind of like what they started to do. And they were trying to build the norm of like, don't be an independent woman, because the independent women are not violent. The other V word, villains. There it is. Yeah, and it's like that's what they teach people, and you do teach, and this is an example of like things being taught through film, and what like Sergio Isis did this, but it's the idea of training someone through film, and that's so possible. So why don't we teach? Like, why don't we create things that teach us like great things? I guess.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, absolutely. Like, you know, I would kind of, just to add on, you know, I was also like thinking about, you know, why does like America, for instance, make a lot of war films? You know, it has, like, I've always personally at least felt like it always has to do with, you know, with their politics, with their military enterprise, and how they, you know, how the country is structured in that way, where like every time I see, like, for instance, like if I were to name a couple of films, like I remember watching like, you know, a movie like Independence Day, or like even some other movie, like let's say even something like a Mission Impossible or something like that. You always see this like bureaucratically elected people, and you're just like, oh, look at me, I'm the president, I have the final say on everything, and I'm gonna, like, you know, in this war room, or like, commander, do this, do that, you know,
then,
like,
yeah. Then the spectators are like, oh, that system works, oh, that system like is amazing, and that's also the system we have, so I guess that's the only system that can ever exist ever.
Do you have any examples of positive social norms that have been created because of film?
I would actually kind of like add to that is, for instance, this has like not particularly related to, you know, Hollywood or Western movies in that sense, but, one example that I have is of like Tamil films, like, you know, my mother tongue is, Tamil, and like we in Tamil films especially has had this historical wave of like, of films that depict people who are like socially backward, people who have like, you know, who've, you know, like people of lower castes, like, you know, like poorer background, you know, like from like almost from the 1960s, where like in between that vocabulary did change at some point, but, you know, where like, you know, it becomes more commercialized and things like that. But almost recently, I would say like somewhat about like 10, 12 years ago, like there's been kind of this reemergence of a new wave of, you know, film directors where they, you know, where they write stories that are very rooted within their, you know, like, you know, upbringing, which is surrounded by a lot of oppression, you know, like these sort of like caste systems and like different social systems. And now that is kind of like, you know, created this sort of like vocal discourse where, you know, we have people at one end who talk about, oh, do we need these kind of films? You know, it's still causing more divide among people.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you also have the contrary where it says like, hey, look at me, I have my voice finally on a TV screen or like on a film screen. You know, like this is not something that has happened all throughout, but here it is now. And for me, as somebody who's probably like even lived outside the country and trying to understand that culture and demographics, like for me, it was almost like kind of like, a lot of things were a little bit more unbelievable, if I were to put it that way, where it's like, do these things actually happen? Well, it's like a lot of them are real experiences of actual people, you know? So it's like, it's always like that idea of like, I feel like those kind of projecting those kind of norms sometimes can be good, but I feel like it always comes down to the context, the politics, and the time, I guess.
I was also gonna think of, like, I was also gonna say, I thought of, like, back to like the Femme Fatale example. So, like, sure, that could have taught people to be, like, critical of women and not allow them to do that, those things. But it's all up to like interpretation, because the norm that some people could have built is like, well, I actually find this new female character who's independent and empowering in a way, even though at the end she might have to die or might have to be punished in some sort of way. like the norm being good or bad, the norm being taught being good or bad has a lot to do with like spectator interpretation and kind of like pre-constructed ideas that you already have. Because if I believe that women should be independent and I see an independent woman in a film, I'm going to allow like that to exist in my reality a bit more. And I'm going to allow the good aspects of that character to impact my mind. Opposed to if I hate that idea, I'm going to ignore all the independent actions that she's taking. And then just be like, oh, good thing she was punished at the end, though. And then that will in turn, like, and then having conversations about that film, it would be more, like it'll be personalized to the whoever's speaking.
Mean, I feel like that's kind of why I feel like this, you know, like talking about film theory itself is something that's very important, is because it kind of like, it's not about like kind of knowing about like what Photogeny is, for example, or who Jean Epstein is, for example, but it's about understanding films within its contexts, within its world, within the myth that it's trying to create, if that's a, you know, good way to put it.
Yeah, I agree.
And like kind of dissecting it through different, you know, aspects, like socially or like politically, culturally, historically, again, you know, like it changes where, like, so I feel I've always felt like certain films during at like certain time, you know, is like, you know, is like, oh, how could they make this film? You know, it's like so problematic. And then you see that same film like 25 years later, 30 years later, and then it's like, this is revolutionary.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like that perspective shifts.
Yeah, like there's a reading that I had to do for a class that, that one paragraph's idea was, in studying a film or in analyzing a film, it's very important to take in the context in which it was produced in. But on top of that, it's also the context in which the spectator is in. And that the juxtaposition is creates like the entire idea of the film. Because like then we're able to critique, and then since recording always happens in the past, we're able then to critique past ideas. The latter part of that was not in the reading, that was just like me spitballing, but I still believe that to be true.
No, I mean, I kind of agree, you know, where it's like, even for like for me, like through whatever we've kind of been speaking for like the last 30 minutes or so, is like, you know, it's always kind of come down to the fact that it's about looking at individuals from their context, you know, even when it comes to like social media, it's not like, you know, it's not about how people are projecting themselves, more to kind of like looking at them from their context, from their worldview, you know, from their, you know, upbringing and how they're, you know, like how those experiences are channelizing, you know, as this social self, which we kind of like briefly touched upon as well, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of been like, it's been a very interesting, you know, conversation. Like, you know, like, I mean, like, I was going to ask, like, if you have like any final thoughts, any film recommendations, any kind of thing, anything that you'd want to say to conclude?
Yeah, this might be a longer conclusion, but like, what do you guys think about the idea that narrative video games are like a next step of film in terms of like immersion or anything? Because I believe that like it's a truthful thing. Like I believe that it is actually a next step in the way that it immerses you in a whole new way. Because if you think about like the technology of film, because like film, like the first thing was like advancement of technology allowing us to get motion captured, and then the next technological thing was syncing sound and so on, and color and all that. And what each of those things is immersed us in a new way. And I think that and there's another theorist that studied it in the before 1968 class. His name is Munsterberg, and he has this idea of our films being like attaching us to them. That's the wrong word, but like they mimic the same similar cognitive processes. So the first one is of motion, or the first one's depth, which we get in photography as well, because we understand a 2D image is meant to reflect a 3D image. And then motion, even though it's not real motion, we're just seeing frames, like multiple pictures in succession, and that gives us the illusion of motion. All that to say, like, there's like a bunch more in the middle, but I think like what the new cognitive process that like video games kind of allow us to do is like making acting in like changing the world based on what you're doing instead of just like passively opposed to it passively invoking emotion from you. You're making actions, and then you kind of feel things based on your actions. So that's my thought.
Making these narratives interactive it's actually such a cool way to experience them. I know a whole bunch of friends who are interested in film who are saying, you know, the same sorts of things. It definitely is like a step up.
And yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I also would tend to agree, especially with how immersive, like, technology has gotten in the recent past with, you know, AI and VR and everything else. It's...
AI, anyways, yeah. Sorry.
I mean, you know, it was perfect. But yeah, like, you know, especially with how things have gotten, you know, it's like, you know, you... I remember, like, in my first year of university, I had this class called the Theater of the Oppressed, where the idea of the whole thing with the Theater of the Oppressed, I forget the person who kind of like founded it, is that the audience have the power to change the narrative that happens within the theater.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's very relevant, especially with like video games, especially with like these new technologies where it's like, it would allow people to be in a world where, like, now they're not, like, a passive viewer.
Yeah, exactly.
But more
they're,
of an...
They're a casual agent at that point.
Exactly, like,
yeah. You play a casual agent.
You know, they're actively there, you know, like, seeing people's outcome and, you know, like, seeing these outcomes, like, come through.
Mm.
And I feel like more often than not, especially with how this world has also gotten very virtual and, you know, online with different people there... It's like you actually have this, like SimCity, for example, you have these like actual people playing actual characters in an actual world. I mean, like in that sense, you know, like
is SimCity the one that's like you like build a city and there's people and you house people and stuff?
Kind of. Yeah, it's very similar to that. But it's also like basically it's kind of basically like that where you have your like, you know, you
like
build your own life, you know, like as so to speak. And you're part of this city, and it's like a simulation city, and then you're like in there in that city.
Oh, it's like playing like a character. Sims, yeah, okay.
And then like it's roughly like that, but very, very similar. Yeah, very similar to what you said.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's kind of like how like now people, there are spectators, there are people seeing you. You know, like it's like even if you're playing like a first-person shooter game, for example, you have other people like judging you and like looking at you for the way you are. Like going to be in this game, like, you know, like
for so your how you impact the narrative is the
is
the parallel there. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I feel like I mean, the Matrix is real. I would say, you know, like and I feel like that's it. A real that's a good way to
end it. Long story short, we are all in a film. Life is a film.
Yeah, I mean, the world's a play, you know.
Yeah, like,
if I have to quote Shakespeare in this.
Exactly.
The man knew, you know.
The men and the women are merely players.
Exactly. Yeah.
But now we're inauthentic players just because we have access to recording it and then we're not living it and immersed into it anymore.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this was a great conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for agreeing to be in this pilot. And yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of been informative. It's kind of given people like perspectives to think about.
Yeah,
you know,
hopefully.
Like I'm kind of like, especially for me, I feel like now... When I do go and watch films, I would actively start dissecting it a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I normally do that from a very commentary point of view, from a very social point of view.
Yeah.
But to connect that social point of view to the visual language, I feel is where film theory kind of comes more into play. It's like you see something and you see how that thing is being projected and you try to connect the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I don't know if I'm trying to, like, you know, if I were to define photogeny based on this conversation, I feel like...
That's an interesting experiment.
That would be, like, you know, that would be my definition is, like, trying to connect, you know, how things are, you know, shown versus what they are within that context, you know, trying to build that connection would be
The connection. I'm trying to think of how to connect what you just said to my definition, and it's like it is photogenic. I think maybe what Jean Epstein was like getting to is like it feels like connection, and I think that's why social media feels so like good to watch, and I think that's why movies feel so good to watch, because it gives you another world to escape into. And like, for example, if you watch like a long-winded show like Friends, like you feel like you're friends with the cast almost, because it's like you're seeing their lives for so long.
Yeah, I mean, considering the amount of times I've kind of rewatched it, I would say it's, you know, it does like impact you. Like, as someone who especially likes to rewatch films a lot, you know,
I'm more of a show guy than a movie guy. Another so like thinking about like comfort shows even is, I think it's that idea. It feels like connection in a way. I've been trying to finish a show called Smallville. I don't know if you guys heard of it. Yeah, it's the best show ever. Have I watched the last season? No, I'm trying to get to it. But it's just I like love the characters, and I love like the way the story is told. And so, like sometimes like they go through different like character arcs, and it like resonates with me, or like I wish it resonates with me, or it informs me on how to act in my own life. And that's very akin to like seeing your friend go through things. It's like, yeah, I connect to that. Honestly, yeah, your advice is really good, kind of things. So
thank you so much, and this has been a great conversation. Thank you,
peace out.